introduce Seton Lee to you. Come on up, Seton. Seton and his wife, Rhonda, are from the country of Cambodia. And just have an amazing personal story. They love to share. And so if you ever want to have them come to your small group or, you know, take them out to dinner or something like that, I know they would love that. Just an amazing personal story is of how God is at work in their lives. Thankfully, they are with us because in the midst of all this pandemic, Rhonda was over in Cambodia, stuck over there for how many months, Seton? Over a year. And you were over there for several months as well, as you were trying to get back into the States. And so we're just really grateful to have these guys here this morning. So let's give a big Pepsi welcome to Seton Lee, shall we?
Thank you so much. You bet, brother.
Good morning. Welcome to a cold Colorado. This is a remind me when this church was first started, I was a student at Colorado Christian University at the time. And I remember that two house right there. That's where they're praying, and it's almost similar, I believe. We was doing barbecue outside, and then we all ran into the building because it's getting cold. So it's a good memory for me, at least. For those of you who's been here, so you probably know what I'm talking about. So I have a long history of this church when they first started, and it's part of my learning process as to how I can better serve the Lord. I already serve the Lord in my country, in the refugee camp in Thailand, as well as here, but then I want to improve how God can better use me for his kingdom. So first of all, I just want to take this opportunity to thank our Lord Jesus Christ for saving our life. And secondly, I want to thank all of you, Pepsi. I love the church, the name, because I used to love Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Pepsi. But I rather say I love Pepsi, because otherwise I won't be supported by this church. If I say I love Coca-Cola, the Mormon will love me more. So anyway. This is our opportunity. Rhonda and I and our entire team of Transform Asia, one of my board members here, Sandy Decker, she's here struggling, trying to get up with her foot broken. I don't know who, maybe her grandson kicked her, so she broke her foot. And then her entire family, my good friends. And Rhonda just got here a few weeks ago from Cambodia. Just try to adjust to the time zone here in Colorado, and also to the weather. You know, we have four seasons in Cambodia: hot, a little bit hotter, very hot, and super hot. So, and what I want to share with you this morning is basically, it's about flexibility, being flexible. When you all of us around the world is going through this pandemic, so we have to be flexible. If we're not flexible, we can't get anything done in our life. In our ministry as well, Transform Asia, we have our routine. We're doing things and we have plan. It's just like the church here and the church anywhere in the world and all of the mission. But all of a sudden, everything's shutting down in Cambodia as much as here. So the church cannot meet anymore. The government has kind of put a restriction on our meeting and how many people we can meet each time. It's down to about three or four people. And Cambodian family are more likely about 10 people in the family. You know, each couple have 7 or 10 kids. So even one family, the pastor had to work like a chicken. They have to split the family to two groups. So he preached one sermon to half of the family, and then he preached the same sermon to the other half. So the pastor is not working like your pastor is, only 2 hours a week. So the rest, he just take it easy. So, but our pastor working 7 days a week, because they not usually work 7 days a week, but because of this problem, this pandemic, and because of the restriction, so they have to work like around the clock to do that. And then they ran out of the message. When they ran out of the message, they called me for help. and I can't help them. I already got here to this side of the world, so then they say, well, there's social media. So we tried with the Facebook Messenger, and it did not work very well. And then I talked to Elizabeth. Actually, Elizabeth is here too. She's really a big help to us. And she said, well, let's look it into what they call Zoom. I have no idea what Zoom means. So anyway, we got Zoom, and then we got to train pastor, and it become a routine right now. So every Monday night, which is Tuesday morning there, we are training our pastor on Zoom. And it's become getting bigger and bigger. And here for me, I'm not a high-tech person. I'm not an IT person. I used to come in front of the people and preach. Everyone out doing all the easy job, sound system and stuff. Now I find out they're not easy. They're very difficult. So I worked sometime. I didn't even sleep. I tried to download the preaching, the message on Facebook and everything, and my laptop doesn't work very well. It's not cooperate because the laptop is not for that. And I didn't have any better system. So anyway, long story short, so I have to become a video editor. I have to become just everything that someone else was supposed to do, their job, but now it's become my job. And then I tried to call my son to help. He said, I can't go to see you because my wife is a nurse. She works at the hospital, and there are a lot of people die with COVID, and she restricted, and the family restricted, so I can't see my son. So he can't help me. So we do some work on just on the telephone and stuff. And finally, I get things going, but it's not as easy as I expect. So now I give a lot of credit to those guys who work behind the scene and television station and the radio station or so on and so on, even the sound man. I have no idea how to make a sound better. I look very pretty on Facebook, but they can't hear me very clearly. The voice is just, they say, Pastor, wait a minute, we don't know what you say. Do you speak English or you speak Khmer or what language? Actually, I tried to speak the language. To come out of the Cambodian language, but because my sound doesn't work very well. And I think Pepsi experienced that the first week because I'm watching Pastor Doug preaching and I don't know what he said. I thought he speak Cambodian because the sound is just funny. So this is the thing that's happening. So what I'm sharing with you this morning is that we have to be flexible. We have to be available and flexible. And it's interesting, and when I look at the American Dictionary, it's a flexibility is mean capable of being bent and responsive to change and adaptable. And so it was not easy. For you and I to change, it's not simple. It's not easy. We like to be routine. We don't like to change. We don't like to have something new. That's why when Jesus tell us in the Great Commission, he say go. He didn't say sit down and wait for someone to come to you so you can preach the gospel. He said go. When they go, as soon as you step out one step forward, there's discomfort out there. It's not easy. There's a chain, there are mud out there in Cambodia. I like to talk about mud. There's mud everywhere. So when you put your step out, your feet was clean, but as soon as you take one step forward, you become dirty. And there are things in that mud. It's not just dirty, but there's a lot of, there are disease, there are all kind of stuff. Or you can slip, you can fall down. There's all kind of problem. Or animal or some bad stuff in there. So anyway, being flexible is the ability to be easily modified, and it's also willingness to change or to compromise. And if we are not willing, we are not able to do anything. We can't get anything done. So this is our mission. It's in the mission field, and I believe it's all affects everyone here in America as well. So we all have to change. And for my son, he have two kids, you know, he worked from home and they have two kids and the wife can't touch their kid because he's work at the hospital. and stuff like that. It's hard. It's very, very difficult. And so now we're looking, what does the Bible say about flexibility? Ecclesiastic chapter 3, verse 1, which I believe everyone is familiar with that, is that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And the Bible is really make it clear that there's season for everything. So it's not going to be all happy. It's not going to be all just like the Denver Broncos we used to win all the time. Now we have to get used to lose all the time. So I'm cheering when they lose. So don't fight with me, okay? So when they lose, I say, good. So I'm not going to have heart attacks at the end when they go to the playoff. So it's better that they lose now. So it's not easy. There's season for them to lose. There's season for them to win. It's season for us to adapt to the new thing. And Proverbs chapter 8, verse 38, it says, blessed is the one who is listening to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting beside my door. So based on this scripture, here are some secrets to our mission during the pandemic, COVID-19. And first thing I do, and our entire team in Cambodia is doing, is to learn to empty ourselves. It's basically we have to be completely empty ourselves. We empty our academic, so we are not smart anymore, God. Now we are not that smart. We think we are, but we're not, so we have to admit to God. So our entire team do it together. And some of the pastors say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of academic. You do. Why don't you empty first? I say, I am. I don't have a lot, but you think I am. But everyone has to be empty ourselves. Academically, we have to empty our position. So I'm no longer the leader of Transformation. I have to be equal with my entire team. So we have to be empty. And then our prestige, we have to empty that. We have to empty our power, our authority. We have to empty our human knowledge and our experiences. One of the pastors in Calgary, who's one of our supporting church as well, he was telling us, he was training our pastor on Zoom with me, and he was telling us, he said, because of the pandemic in Canada, and there's a lot of people have not only emotional, spiritual problem, but they have mental problem. So when they have mental problem, he said, I wish one of my partners used to work at our church. He's a professional counselor. I wish he's with me when I go see a church member. But unfortunately, he's no longer with us. He's gone. He's not on our staff anymore. He's not in Calgary anymore. So I have to learn to be the counselor, and I'm not trained to be a professional counselor. But yet I remember I was struggle. I remember I have, wait a minute, every Christmas, he said, we quote from Isaiah. You know who he's going to, and he asked all of our pastor, can you tell us which scripture in Isaiah we are quoting in relationship to someone who was a counselor? And we do that all the time. And we forgot that he's there. He's available for us. So, and he's always with us. So that counselor is Jesus Christ himself. He came and he said, he's Emmanuel. He's with us. In the Great Commission, he said, go out and preach the gospel. And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Lo, I be with you always. Unfortunately, there's a guy in Thailand, a Chinese Cambodian, a very wealthy guy, but also loved the Lord. His name is Lo, Mr. Lo. He said that scripture only applied to him because God said, Lo, I be with you always. So I say, shut up, Mr. Lo. Jesus said it to all of us. So he wanted to claim for himself. But I just want to tell you, that great counselor was really comfort that pastor. He said, I've been a pastor all of my life, but I forgot I have a counselor with me. I was always thinking about that professional counselor who's on staff at our church. But now I realize I have the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ himself. So only if you empty yourself, then you realize that God is there for you. And he's available. He can help us in any circumstances. And that's what our entire team of Transform Asia is doing. And when we do that, what do we do next? Now we empty ourselves, and to us is that we have to pray and follow God's guideline, what he wants us to do, what he's going to speak to us about, what his direction for us during this pandemic in Cambodia as well as here. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, it said, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desire pass away, but whoever does the will of God will live forever. And that's really for us, our little mission. It's basically that's what God is speaking to us. So don't thinking about the world around us. Don't try to see what the world is doing so we can follow their way and stuff, even during the difficult times. So we have to look into God. I don't know why 1 John is coming to us, but we all praying. Our entire team was praying together. That's what God is giving us. And the example from the Bible is that Philip was sent to witness to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. And Philip doesn't understand all of this. But when he emptied himself and God is using him, and he was able to change the life of this Ethiopian man. Abraham went and traveled wherever the Lord sent him. He didn't know. In this modern day, our missionary like to study about the country we go to. Our missionary like to learn the language before we even go to. Our missionary try to make sure we have enough fun and resources so before we even take off to go to the country. But Abraham didn't have any of those. He didn't have internet. He didn't have telephone. He didn't have the airplane. So he didn't have all any of the above that we have right now. And we thank God we do have now. But at that time, he didn't have anything, but he went and traveled wherever the Lord sent him. And why he do that? Because he put the total trust in him. He was totally empty. He emptied himself in doing that. The Magi, the one in the dream to not return to Herod's land, but go to another route home. And so when Jesus was born, so God direct, maybe I pronounce it wrong, Magi or Magi. Those guys, did I say it right? I don't know. God direct them not to go to meet the King Herod. Go the other way. And because he was empty himself, so God can direct him. If he's himself full of himself, God cannot direct him. So if I'm full of myself, God cannot direct me. But if I empty myself, God will direct me. Paul considered his trial and imprisonment as a furthering the cause of Christ and accepted it as a circumstances. So any circumstances that happened to the Apostle Paul, he accepted. It's from God, and he just emptied himself and allowed God to use him even when he was in prison. You know, I was crying when I went to a seminary. I was crying because I already ministered the gospel for many, many years, and then I went to seminary later. to better myself to serve the Lord. And then when the professor was teaching to me, kind of reminded me, he said, Sitan, you look at all of this beautiful word in the scripture that Apostle Paul wrote. What do you think? Where was him? I say, I think he sit in a relaxed upper room, pretty nice place, nice and cool, have a cup of coffee, drinking and write me this letter. That's what I told him. And I said it not because I know anything or I joke or anything, but that's my ignorance. I didn't know. I thought Paul was having a good time. He's in a good, cozy place and writing the beautiful letter. And when I find out that he was in prison, he was not in a cozy place. But in the letter that you read, it looked like he's in a pretty nice place. But how can a guy have enough courage to write those kind of letters to encourage you and me? Because he emptied himself and he sees the will of God in his life. And he just disregard all the life that he have in prison. He didn't even think he was in prison. He's just in the presence of God and writing those letters to us. That's why when I was put in prison in Cambodia, I tried to learn from Paul. I'm not Paul. I'm still Sitan. And I don't want to be Paul. I want to be Sitan. And I tried to learn the moment I got arrested and put in prison in Cambodia. I just tried to learn. I tried to enjoy God. Believe it or not, you know, prison in Cambodia is not fun. Prison anywhere is not fun. I can't even breathe because we can't even sleep on our back. We had to sleep on a sideway and the nose of the other prisoner and my nose was hitting each other. We breathed at each other. And talking about COVID, I probably have a lot from that guy, or that guy probably have a lot from me. But nevertheless, so instead of allowing the enemy to bother me, so I just sit up. I didn't sleep hardly any for those many days in prison. I just sat up and preached the gospel. Anybody and a lot of other prisoners cannot sleep. So all they hear, they have no choice. I told them, if you don't like, you may leave. So I just preach the gospel, take a lot of opportunity, and I become well-liked in the room of 150 inmates. Very little tiny rooms, about this small. Very tiny. And so they begin to like me because I'm entertaining them with something they never heard before. And so I say, thank God for allowing me to experience a little bit what Apostle Paul experienced. I'm not Paul again. I'm still Sitan. But I experienced a little bit, and I know why he wrote those beautiful letters to us, because in spite of being in prison. So the example of Jesus, our Lord, what did he do? Jesus challenged the realistic self-righteous teaching of that time. He challenged the people who are self-righteous. They're teaching about them. They are better than anybody, you know. They're not a sinner. They compare themselves to others, and they think they're the best. So Jesus challenged them. And he wanted people to get to know God and apply the heart of God to the situation, just, you know, that people are being blindfolded to think about themselves and what they can do, how they can save people, how they can have all the answer and the solution to others. So Jesus challenged people. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for men, not men for the Sabbath. So that's really interesting. You know, nobody have anything to reply back to him. They all shut up. Because when he said that, Sabbath was made for men, not man made the Sabbath. And when Jesus challenged them in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting the net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And hear what he said, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you to fish for people." At once they left their net and followed him. So Jesus is challenging people to change their occupation. This guy, just a fisherman, very comfortable, nowhere, a lot of fish. You know, by the way, I went to Aurora Reservoir. I didn't even know they are close to my home. I live here for 40 years in Colorado. I didn't even know where Aurora Reservoir is. And the reason I don't know, because I went and fished all day with my son. There's not even one fish by my bait, not one. So that's why I don't know where Aurora Reservoir is. It's only like 5 minutes from my home. But because I'm not a fisherman, I can't fish. Fish don't like me. I don't like fish. I like to eat fish, but they don't like me. So anyway, but this guy, a fisherman, they had to change their occupation. They have to lean themselves to follow Jesus. So, folk, this is something that I like to share, you know, with this kind of weather and the time that we have, a very short time together. It just, that's how we do. Mission is not something you can predict ahead of time. And we are all in a mission field, regardless where we are. You say, no, I'm in America, I'm in Parker, I'm in Aurora. I'm not in the mission field. No, you are in the mission field. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. You're in the mission field. And we all have our part. We have all have our opportunity to share the gospel to anybody at workplace, at home, anywhere. So it's a mission field. You know, with all this problem in America right now, when I first got here, my son and my daughter was so scared of me going out by myself. They said, "Oh, you Asian, you go out, people think you're gonna bring COVID to them." And there's some Asian guy been beaten so bad and stuff like that with a little daughter, because he just go do a grocery shopping. Somebody just beat him up and the daughter, a little daughter, about 2-year-old or 3-year-old. And stuff like that. And I arrive at Seattle Airport. I think I'm the only passenger at the airport. Maybe I am. The rest are like, I think the Homeland Security, like there are 30 of them or more. They don't have anyone to work with except for one passenger, me, walking. So everybody they try to do their job. Everybody asking me, the officer, from men to women, and one last woman asked me, "How many $1 million do you have in your pocket?" I was like, "I never heard of that. I have million real Cambodian because of $1 to 4,000 real. I probably have 1 million one time, real, but not dollar." But this lady said, "Do you have how many $1 million? Tell the truth, don't lie." I say, "Well, you pray for me so I have a million someday." So, because they have no job to do, there are no passengers except for me walking out of the plane by myself. And then the whole airport, just me. And then I called my son. He said, "Just be careful, because you're an Asian boy, somebody's going to beat you at the airport." And I say, "Well, by God's grace, I think I'm going to be fine." And so far, so good. So all of this is happening. Because people just don't understand. Everybody confused and with all this pandemic. And I want to finish with this, ladies and gentlemen. In my lifetime, in the last 60 years, so now you know how old I am. In the last 60 years, I live in 4 different regimes in my country. And I've gone through the killing field. And I survived the killing field and all of this. And now COVID. Everything, I've gone through a lot, but the one that preserved me and it keep me going is Jesus Christ. And the moment that I faced all those challenges, I just empty myself. I say, "Lord, I'm empty once again. I need you. And every time I say that, he just come and take charge. And man, it's, you can write a beautiful letter like Apostle Paul. Anybody can do that. As soon as you do that, empty yourself and allow God to be God, allow yourself to be yourself, everything becomes beautiful. That's the best thing I can share with you based on my life story. So God bless you.
Let me offer a word of prayer for this brother. Father, we give you thanks. Satan could literally talk for hours about the things he has seen, the miracles, God, you have wrought on his behalf, and not just for him, but really through him in order to proclaim the gospel to the nations, his own nation of Cambodia, certainly here in America. Lord, we give you thanks for this man and for his family, for Rhonda, for all that you're doing in and through them. We pray a great blessing upon them. And I'm just so grateful for the partnership we have had for so many years here at Pepsi with Transform Asia. God, bless them, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, sir.